Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Robin Kiefer, and this is episode number 306. I want to thank you guys for listening each week. Appreciate those of you that like, share, comment. Just helps us continue to highlight the great people that we have in our profession. Also want to thank our sponsor, Train Heroic, for bringing this episode to you for free. Only partner with companies that I believe in both the product and the people. Ben Crookston, Josh, Adam, the rest of the gang out there at Train Heroic, just fantastic, fantastic people. And they have the best product on the market, in my opinion. So if you are in the market, reach out to them. If not, let them know how much you appreciate them at the next conference that you see them at. This week, joined by a former staff member, Eric Krause. He's the associate strength and conditioning coach at Florida Gulf Coast. Just a great guy doing fantastic things down there. Appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, coach. Really appreciate it. Love what you're doing with the show. One of my favorite. I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you the last one that I listened to was my favorite. Coach Johnny Parker. That thing was a gem, man.
Yeah, Johnny's unreal. The great thing about this show is that it puts you, you know, as a listener in the room, you know, in just a chalk talk session, and getting better and getting exposed to great people like Johnny Parker that sometimes don't have the opportunity to do. And he is by far a gem, like you said. Eric, I mentioned you. You know, you started, at South Florida with us. I'm part of our staff, and then you've been at Florida Gulf Coast for quite some time. Which stop along your journey, or which part of your career had the biggest impact on you, and why?
Oh, I mean, it'd have to be, you know, the first stop, you know, with you guys over at USF, because that kind of set the foundation, and in terms of how things were going to go for me, I learned a ton there, and then that just helped project me forward. There hasn't been a ton of spots. I've went from there right to the spot I'm at now. I've been here for 8 years now. So, just the things I've learned there have been instrumental in everything that I've done where I'm at now.
Yeah, you know, we had a great program going at South Florida for many years with pouring into our interns, and then not only that, but surrounding them with other quality staff members and assistants. And many of those assistants have gone on to be head strength coaches different places. And when you have that kind of environment where everybody's learning together, it's a pretty cool deal.
Yeah, and of all the things that I really take from that experience is just how you and Coach Wintridge, how you guys approach every day and how you approach the profession. And I think that's the main thing that's helped me carry on from where I am now.
Yeah, no, that's great. You don't get to Florida Gulf Coast without making some mistakes along the way. What's one of the biggest mistakes you've made and how you've learned from it?
There's been a ton, but the one that probably sticks out the most and has been, you know, the biggest eye openers is being patient. You know, I wasn't, when I first got here, I was so excited to share everything that I learned and everything that I had experienced up to that point, and without backing up and looking at the big picture in terms of, you know, we've had some really successful coaches that I had started to work with that they had already done these things, you know, for many years now and been very successful. So coming in there, if I had to do it again, I would be a lot more open, a lot more looking at the big picture. And even though I still have that drive to educate and share, you know, the new things that they may not be exposed to, just being more patient, more tactical about it rather than coming in and be like, oh, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. So definitely a quick learning lesson for me and, moved on from there.
Yeah, I think that's a great piece of advice. I mean, you know, so many times we go in guns blazing and, you know, there's either it's absorbed quickly and there's nowhere else to go because you kind of emptied the barrels or people are turned off by it, you know. So releasing things over time and being patient, like you said, I think is definitely something to take away.
Absolutely.
At Florida Gulf Coast, you have a lot of sports, you know, and you've worked with a variety of them throughout the years. What, you know, I mean, how do you, and this is something that I've always, you know, struggled with as a head strength coach, even though I've always been in charge of the entire department, I was always the football guy. You know, I had one team and that was really what I focused on, wins, losses, practice, you know, all those types of things. When you have multiple teams, how do you keep focused? How do you stay engaged with each team to where you make sure that you feel a part of that culture, that organization? But also, you know, when you're pulled so many different directions.
Yeah, that's a huge thing, you know, with being in charge of so many teams. It's really about, one, taking the time to learn the best you can since you're spread out, but learn deeply about their sport and, you know, go from there. Obviously showing up to games and spreading yourself out, you have to be diligent in how you do that, in terms of, you know, going to matches and supporting your teams, making sure that you're, you know, you're diving into what the vernacular of each sport, you know, that's important. Having soccer, having swim, having volleyball, you know, I've made my mistakes early on where you're talking about, oh, guys on the baseline, and you're and it doesn't take too much to lose some credibility. So, you know, just doing the homework on that side, and just, you know, knowing the terminology, knowing their sport goes a real, you know, real long way in terms of having them be open to your coaching. And at that point, you know, if you're bringing it from a coaching perspective, that will take care of the rest. But, you know, just doing your homework and balance, you know, you want to be individualized as much as possible, but there's, you know, there's a certain amount of depth that you can get into. And the cool thing about it is each year it's been able to be, you know, just adding one little thing each time, getting deeper and deeper and towards how individual I can get with things. And they really appreciate it. It adds like a little flair to the program each year. So that's kind of how I've been able to manage it.
Yeah, I think what you said there, you know, going to practice, going to games, sitting in on meetings when you can, you know, those are things that, you know, when you've worked 12 hours a day, you don't necessarily feel like doing, you know, when you're coaching your tail off in the weight room. But those little things make a big difference in the athlete's eyes. And, you know, paying attention, being invested, you know, when you invest in those other 22 hours, those 2 hours that you have them become a lot more productive, you know, and I think so important. You know, it's interesting, even though, you know, you've gone through quite a few changes there at Florida Gulf Coast in terms of, you know, space and weight room and those types of things, you still, I believe, share the weight room with Campus Rec, right?
Yeah, we share the weight room with Campus Rec. We have four racks smushed into too small of a space. And, you know, a dumbbell rack on the other side with four benches. And that's kind of what we have to work with right now. We do have a temporary space about the same exact size, a bit smaller, out by our soccer field where we had to be to accommodate baseball, basically, because we've been doing LA Fitness and you know, struggling with facilities. So luckily for us, next year, Rec gets their own building, and we begin building our new, you know, hopefully top of the line state of the art facility. So excited about that. Excited to be a part of planning that. And
yeah.
It's about to get good, but I wouldn't trade it for anything because, like, you know, we spoke about before, it's just, that has made me a better coach without a doubt. Just as coaching many teams, you know, at one point I thought I wanted to be when I was with you guys, I wanted to be a football guy. And when I got here, man, did it open my eyes. And I love doing all the other sports.
Right. Well, I think that, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, most people would go into that situation. We spent a year, or not a year, like an off season, the summer, in the rec center when I was at South Florida while our weight room was getting remodeled. And that was awful. You know, I mean, it was one of those tough, keep their attention to, you know, to work with, you know, a variety of people. You couldn't have the culture and the intensity where you wanted it to necessarily be sometimes.
Absolutely.
You know, what give me some tactical things that you did to, you know, when you went into that situation, it's not ideal, it's not what you want, to work with Campus Rec and have to share space and all that. What are some tactical things that you did to make that a better situation?
first and foremost is you really have to create the relationship with Campus Rec staff. Make sure you guys are on the same page. Make sure that, you know, it's a great operating relationship. And that means, you know, not just with, you know, the head of rec, it means with their staff members as well. We're in a situation where we take care of their stuff better than their staff does. So we're in good standing. As far as in situations where we share that room, you know, sometimes the general population is going to be in there. It's communication, respecting other people's time in terms of like letting them know when we're going to use the room, and we'll have the schedule posted up, and we go in 15 minutes ahead of time and we let them know that, hey, you know, we're coming in, so they don't feel slighted or confused about things and then complain to other people about, you know, their experience. So it's kind of, we go into it with the mindset of considering the general public too, because, you know, if ultimately they help pay for the situation that you're in. So you kind of have to make sure you do that. And then as far as programming and planning, when you're in that type of situation, it's just plan for what you have, you know, plan for what you have. I'm set up in a, you know, a closed box where sometimes I have some things outside of that closed box where I can't see athletes and, you know, there's no straight line of sight and those things. So you have to plan for that. And, you know, some teams can handle that type of thing. Others can't. And you just kind of have to, you know, plan accordingly. You know, don't plan for the perfect weight room, plan for what you have.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great piece of advice. I think so many times you want to complain about what you don't have and you don't, you know, all those types of things. But I mean, there's people, you know, you guys have won a lot of championships coming out of a shared weight room. You know, we won a lot of ball games out of a 2,000 square foot room. I mean,
yeah.
When you're in those situations, you become a much better coach. And if you attack it that way and that mentality as a coach, then, you know, 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, you're like, you know, you're saying, hey, this made me who I am today. And I think that's important. You know, it's all mindset with how you go about that. And then communication, like you said, you know, you almost got to overly communicate. And that's not a bad skill to have either. You mentioned some staff, and how your staff will do it better, you know, and, you know, mentoring a young staff and keeping them, you know, engaged and a part of the program. What are some of the things that you've done that are maybe unique, either to your setting or to the profession with how you've mentored your coaches?
Well, thankfully, you know, I come from the experience I came from what you all put together over there, that, you know, I kind of recreated that to the best of my abilities here. And it's grown from, you know, not being very organized, and that's no cut on my boss. Like, he was one strength coach in charge of every team we have at this school. So right. it wasn't able to happen, but now it's a structured system, education wise, you know, really thinking about what they're prepared for in their classwork. And then I try to expose them to what they're not, all the things that it's almost like a fast track for them, all the things that I kind of sifted through and found to be valuable that I never, you know, experienced through my university work. So I try to help round them out a bit and expose them. And it's very structured. I think that's the kind of the main part, very structured. Some of the internships that they would experience otherwise, they're not so. It's more of just like free work. So you can really tell that they value the experience and I, you know, pushing people out of their comfort zone. It's just an opportunity to kind of help people grow. And it's just another way. They're just like an athlete to me. It's just another way. It might not be as physical. It's just a little bit different in terms of how to improve somebody. So just kind of push them out of their comfort zones.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And it's something that we try to do, obviously, at South Florida, that you've continued to take on where you're at. But when you invest in your people and you constantly try to push them to improve, you know, it doesn't take much to make that a great internship experience, you know. We have an obligation. I mean, most internships don't pay money, you know, so we have an obligation to pour into them. And then likewise, it doesn't end with that, you know, with that internship. You know, I mean, how many times have you and I talked through the years about career type stuff and investing in people long after the fact. And so that's so important for coaches to not only, you know, you've had people invest in your life, you need to turn around and pay that twofold. And if everybody does that, then we're gonna make some real progress in this profession.
Absolutely.
And we end the show with some resources here. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
You know what? It's, you know, my first coach was my mother, and she told me to be a leader, not a follower. And it's just till this day, that's the one thing that kind of like is in the back of my head driving me to make sure, especially in a world where, you know, following is kind of a thing these days. So
right.
Making sure that you're ahead of the pack and you're being the example, in all ways, you know, and then the other ones from you, you know, it's a be principle based, you know, basically be a principle based strength coach, you know, things and find the value in things in the situation that it makes sense. And if it doesn't, then you don't use it. But just that has helped me a lot to be open to different things. Cause in my scenario, I have to be open. I can't just, go to anything. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Give us a book, app, and website recommendation.
All right. For a book, this is one that I'll often give out to my interns. It's called Get What You Deserve, How to Guerrilla Market Yourself. It's not a great title, but it's by Jay Levinson and Seth Godin. Seth Godin is probably one of my favorite authors outside of strength and conditioning. He, you know, he's a marketing guy, but, you know, what we do is selling. We sell our program, we sell ourselves, and that guy's he's a genius, and it spells out pretty much in that book just being aware of your nonverbals. You know, what are you presenting? You might have an intention for one thing, but oftentimes that's not what people are receiving. So you really have to be on the other end and ask the question, like, what are people receiving when I walk into a room? What do they get out of that? So just kind of being mindful of that, and then, you know, moving throughout your day that way. And man, does that help?
Yeah,
with everything.
Yeah, I think whenever you go outside of your own discipline and you learn from other disciplines, it's only going to help you for sure.
Absolutely. And then an app, my Google Calendar, man. I'll tell you what, it's simple, but you know that one's big time for me. I never miss a meeting, and it lets me know 5 minutes before, a little buzz on my hip. So that one's. Interval timer, my fitness pal, WhatsApp, Instagram, all those are fantastic. WhatsApp, Instagram, communication wise, and also, you know, kind of, I like to use that to showcase my athletes and kind of like encourage them social, you know, in front of public, like public, sure. You know, recognition type situation. And my fitness pal, I'll use a lot of times when speaking about nutrition.
A website.
Oh yeah. Website. Everyone says pretty much the same, but they're good. Stronger by Science, Complementary Training, Simply Faster, all fantastic websites. An educational resource that I would definitely recommend is that Altus Foundations course. I'm just not pushing that thing up. It's, you know, it is a lot of repeat in the beginning, but some of that stuff is just super valuable. And I, you know, anything that's coming out of there has been really good for me.
Yeah, one of those you mentioned in there, WhatsApp, and I don't know if everybody knows that's listening what that is, but I mean, at a place like Florida Gulf Coast or most universities, you're going to have a lot of foreign players, and having to communicate with them through WhatsApp is really, really valuable. So it's definitely one that I would recommend as well. Well, Eric, you know, as you and I have talked many times, I mean, I'm, you know, super proud of you. You know. Watching you blow your first whistle, basically, you know, and seeing you evolve and grow as a coach, and the impact that you're making down there at Florida Gulf Coast is incredible. And I see it when you post those Instagram pictures and whatnot, and seeing how much fun and joy you're having with your athletes. That's what it's all about, and that's what we
kind
of beginning. And you're doing a great job of keeping that going, man. So appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks a lot, Coach. Appreciate you.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey, on Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.